day on Tim and Sid. The Battle of Alberta leaves us wanting more.
It was so good Saturday.
Very good.
The Raptors keep producing more.
And more cheeseburgers for Andy Reid.
If that's actually possible. And I love cheeseburgers. I'm not throwing stones in glass houses.
I did not want to stop your cheeseburger conversation. Do proceed.
I just appreciate a good cheeseburger is all I'm saying.
Well, who doesn't?
Go get them, Andy.
Super Bowl Monday edition of Tim and Sid starts now.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid show. You are now tuned in coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment. Yeah. It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
Do you put bacon on your favorite cheeseburger?
No.
Or does that ruin the cheeseburger for
See,
you?
See, I'm the guy. And don't get me wrong. If Mary Brown's Chicken did this, I'd be all for it. I don't think you need bacon on a sandwich of any kind or a burger to make the sandwich or burger that much better.
They do call it a banquet burger, though. It becomes a banquet
right.
burger.
Right. I'm just saying, to me, bacon has always been a morning accoutrement. And I don't believe you need, I don't think we have to kind of bring bacon to the rest of our day to make bacon seem relevant. Bacon, when you wake up, it's like, bacon. Michael Scott burned his foot once because of bacon in the morning.
Yeah.
Remember that episode?
Yeah, the wrap it in bubble wrap.
The smell in the morning. So he had a George Foreman grill in his bedroom.
Bed. Yeah.
So he could just smell bacon. Then he burned his foot. It was a whole thing. And Ryan had to help him.
So you, no club sandwiches for Sid Sixera?
No, I'm not a fan. Past 11 a.m., I don't want any bacon.
I mean, is
not even around filet mignon.
You don't like the bacon wrapped filet mignon either.
No, just give me more filet mignon. Make it bigger. Like, do we have to have the bacon around it? I don't know. Like, why don't we just put pickles around it?
Can I stop on the club sandwich?
Can we stop the music for a second? This is a really serious discussion around.
Can I stop on the club sandwich for a second?
Go ahead.
Are the lettuce and tomato too healthy for you? Is that why you don't like a club? Because otherwise, like, what's not to like? It's chicken. It's bread.
So
there's a little bit of mayonnaise.
Is the lettuce and tomato too much?
Too healthy.
It's a little acidic for me. I'm not going to lie to you. The tomatoes can get rather acidic. See, it's a part of tomatoes that they don't tell you about. Sometimes they get you and you're like, oh, what's that? And it's a tomato and you've been told this is a good thing.
Don't you put that on your burger?
Yeah, but in like thinly veiled slices. I'm just saying.
It is the Monday after the Super Bowl. I'm Tim McAuliffe.
Thank you.
This dude that I sit beside is Sid Sixero. This is Tim and Sid for the first Tim and Sid of February, and I'd like to thank everyone sitting in this chair over the last couple days. I really do appreciate it.
It's fine. I complained a lot while you were gone. If you would like to interact with the show, only about my co-host, I would like to continue on the show here. And if you'd like to interact on the show live on Twitter, at Tim and Sid, this is how you can do that.
Does that only happen when I'm gone, or...
I think we should move on.
Okay, all right.
Ask me more about tomatoes.
All right.
We're also available via Instagram and Facebook. Tim and Sid Podcast, where this kind of all began, sort of, is available 24/7, so download it anytime.
You can also stream the show courtesy of the Sportsnet Now and the Sportsnet app. That's where you get more information. And coming up over the next 2 hours of whole grain goodness, we will discuss Super Bowl 54.
It happened.
Kasperi Kapanen.
Don't sleep on him.
Battle of Alberta.
Sleepless in Alberta.
What?
I'm just saying it's exciting. I got no sleep Saturday night watching that.
The Raptors.
11 straight wins.
Buff Daddy.
Moving into final stage.
Question mark.
What is this?
Final stage.
And I know they were talking about it free chat at Saturday night on Hockey Night in Canada. Coming up next hour, we'll be joined by Sportsnet's Chris Johnson. We'll not only tee up a massive game between the Leafs and the Panthers tonight, but we'll also get the latest on Dustin Byfuglien. We may be nearing an end to this impasse between he and the Winnipeg Jets. Details on that straight ahead. Also, three-time Pro Bowl cornerback D'Angelo Hall of NFL Network will join us to talk about a game that happened yesterday. And not surprisingly, as I think Tim saw a tweet he liked, that's where we begin the show. Or we begin the show with the tweet. I'm now interested to see which way Tim goes here.
I don't know if Sandra's actually doing this or just trolling Sid Sixero, but Sandra wrote in and said, I am currently cooking bacon in the oven for the express purpose of sprinkling it over tonight's homemade mac and cheese. Hashtag Tim and Sid.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Both these things rile up Sid Sixera.
Sandra, sometimes I think you want to fail. And I know you. You're better than that. First off, bacon in the oven? What is this, a dessert? Who makes bacon in the oven? You fry bacon.
Okay.
Like the cavemen used to. Am I late on this? The whole room just looked at me like I'm weird. Sorry. We're putting bacon in ovens now?
I missed that.
What did you say, Seb? Oh, all the restaurants put it in the oven. I'm Gordon Ramsay. Really? You know this. All the restaurants now, none of the Michelin restaurants do.
I'm old school. I fry my bacon.
Thank you, Tim McAuliffe. Finally, he agrees with me on food.
I don't eat bacon very often, though.
Okay,
not a big bacon guy.
Just don't, A, don't bake it. B, don't eat it past 5 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be fine.
Robert writes in and says, no bacon past 11 a.m. Not sure how Tim McAuliffe can honestly work daily with Sid Sixero.
Hey, Tim, how do you work with me every day? Take your time. Because I don't think anyone off air or on has ever asked you this question legitimately.
There is a real simple answer to it.
Yoga.
It's remarkably simple.
Go ahead.
You do half the work.
I never thought of it.
If I wanted to work that hard, I could and would, but I don't.
Well, welcome to my last 3 days on this show.
Chiefs brought home the bacon in case you're in the washroom for a long time.
Hold on.
A very long time. The Kansas City Chiefs won their first Super Bowl in 50 years yesterday. They outscored the 49ers 21-0 in the fourth quarter, en route to a 31-20 victory. So, Sid, a day later, are you placing blame or giving credit? Who won this game for Kansas City, or who lost this game for San Francisco?
In an upset of the ages, Tim, I'll give credit to start this show. And Patrick Mahomes is having the worst game of his career, right? Like, in the third quarter, we're looking at Patrick Mahomes, who looks like he arrived in this planet like Superman in some egg form vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's not human. And then there's one pick. And then there's two picks.
First two picks of his postseason career.
Thank you for making my point for me. And aside from that, two fumbles that one goes out of bounds.
Yeah.
And the other one he recovers. So that could have been game twice over.
Right.
And
there was kryptonite on the field after this egg thing delivered. Someone
ate his bacon today.
Right.
I'm floored at what I'm saying. It was bizarre. And none of it mattered. None of it mattered. This guy is talking to his team with 7 minutes to go on the sideline. Tyreek Hill spoke about it after the game. He's like, guys, we're only down 10-7 to go. Tyreek Hill's like, you've lost your mind, kid. This game is over. The greats do this. I know people are annoyed he was named MVP. I know people are sad that it wasn't Damian Williams or someone else they had in their pool. But this guy just pulled off, I don't want to call it a miracle, but it's damn close, against one of the quickest defenses he's seen all year. For three quarters, Nick Bosa was on him like you would not believe.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, well, Mahomes doesn't look right. Yeah, because that front for San Fran was all over him.
Right.
Watch the game.
Nick Bosa was on him like Sixero on bacon before 11 a.m.
Don't like the bacon reference, but I enjoy where you put it here in the show.
Yeah.
That's greatness, what we saw last night. Stop it. Absolute, he willed it. And I think that whole concept is garbage, willing something into existence. That guy just did it. And he did it in front of 100 million people, never mind the global TV audience. That is the best quarterback in the game. It is not a discussion. He has an MVP, a Super Bowl MVP, and a Super Bowl, and he's not 25 years old yet.
Right.
I cannot believe people telling me he wasn't the MVP. Shut up. You have no idea what you're talking about. You have no clue what just happened there. That should not have taken place. Should have taken place last night. Shouldn't have happened against Houston. Shouldn't have happened against the Tennessee Titans. Greatness. That's what you saw. He's going to Disney World. Greatness.
Well, that's the honest truth on why he was named the MVP. In a different era, Damian Williams would have been the MVP of that game.
You think so?
But because Disney would rather have Patrick Mahomes 120 times over Damian Williams as the spokesperson taking the ride in the parade today, it was going to be Patrick Mahomes the entire time. You know that, right?
You know who Disney didn't want on that float? Travis Kelce.
Like, how...
What do you want to Travis Kelce? Nowhere near that float.
You know that this picture with Mickey Mouse on a float and Patrick Mahomes is worth way more to Disney than it would have been if it were Damian Williams, who will be part of a three-headed monster in the backfield for Casey next year.
We'll be quickly forgotten.
Right.
We'll be quickly forgotten. Oh, right. You're bang on. But I'm also saying the kid deserved it.
But the interesting part of this, and I want to give Mahomes all the credit in the world because I believe in most of what you said, but Jimmy G outplayed him for three quarters. Jimmy Garoppolo for three quarters, and you can look at the completion percentage through the three quarters because he was remarkably consistent and doing enough to win that game through three quarters of play. But he did not make the plays when they mattered most, and that's what defines greatness in every sport, right? Like you could have – this will haunt him until he corrects it. Jimmy Garoppolo will never be a great quarterback until he corrects what happened in the fourth quarter of that Super Bowl. And what happened in the fourth quarter of that Super Bowl was he was 3 of 11 for 36 yards with an interception and a fourth down sack.
Yeah. I mean, but the pressure was increased on him in the fourth quarter as well. It was a funny game. The Niners defense looked like they slowed down, and the Chiefs defense looked like they picked up some steam.
Nobody will care about that.
Well, I mean, the guys who won and lost may care about that because that's where they're won and lost.
When you talk about the greatness and all of the stuff that you spit out for Patrick Mahomes.
You're right, the big picture stuff.
When it's all said and done, no one will care about any of that.
Correct.
They will also not care about that for Shanahan, for Kyle Shanahan. I almost said Mike Shanahan, and I was going to say Kyle Shanahan.
Don't disrespect.
They are going to do the same things with him. Should they have run the ball more? Probably. If you look at every play, there are one or two where you probably could have run the ball. Other than that, he's probably off the hook, but you know he won't be off the hook.
Nor should he, though. They ran the ball 47 times against the Vikings in the divisional round.
Yeah, because they
ran the ball 42 times in the NFC title game. They ran it 22 times yesterday.
Okay, but you understand...
22!
But you understand game plan has a lot to do with it. I'm not talking about the Niners' game plan. The Chiefs sold out to stop the run.
Correct.
So the opportunities that were there were mainly there through the air. Well, and if you trust your quarterback, which I think he did, you give the ball to your quarterback and hope that he makes the plays. And his quarterback didn't make the plays.
Did you not think they were running the ball pretty well in the third quarter of that football game? I did.
I want to get the numbers because outside of the reverse run to a wide receiver, the Niners running backs had an average yards per carry in the fourth quarter of about 3.2.
Yeah, fourth quarter, it slowed down significantly.
Why? Because they're selling out to stop the run, which means, especially when you have one of, if not the greatest tight end in the game, that you should be able to make a play every now and then. And they weren't able to, right? And I understand the history of Kyle Shanahan, and I understand he got way too pass happy with a 28-3 lead. I understand all of it, and he's going to eat it. But if you go, Bill Barnwell did it for ESPN, and I'll just give credit to him. You can go look at it. You can read it. We'll tweet it out so you can read it. There are about maybe two or three plays where you say you got to run the ball in this situation.
Especially up 20-10 and 20-17. They ran the ball three times on two drives up in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl. That's it.
20-10 in the fourth quarter, they called 13 pass plays and four runs.
That's insane to me. Tim, that's insane to me. For a guy in Shanahan who has an offensive coordinator, was part of blowing a 28-3 Super Bowl lead to the Patriots while with Atlanta. This is now a pattern with this guy. His game management at the end of the first half, John Lynch is on national television in front of 100 million people, his boss, saying, you might want to call a timeout after you stop Mahomes here. You might, oh no? Okay, that's Kyle Shanahan. He knows what he's doing. This is now a pattern. Eric Bieniemy can't get a job as OC of the Kansas City Chiefs, but hey, good thing Kyle Shanahan's white because he's not getting jobs based on merit. I'll tell you that right now. That is a joke that guy has done that again.
Wait a second.
That's Kyle Shanahan's fault yesterday.
You understand that you are judging his work by what would be three quarters of football?
There were big quarters.
The second half of the Super Bowl against the Patriots.
OT.
Right? And it would also probably have something to do with the Falcons' defense, which he had no part of in any way, shape, or form.
Could have killed that clock a bit.
Could have killed the clock. I agree.
Even if the defense, Dan Quinn's defense, gives up 14 points, they're Super Bowl champions. Give up two touchdowns, Dan Quinn. We'll run the clock enough. You don't have to be good. We'll run the clock enough against the Patriots. The Falcons will be Super Bowl champions. Arthur Blank will be very happy about
that. So Kyle Shanahan wears 28-3, even though he's not a part of the defense.
He doesn't shed it like a snake shedding his skin. And he wears a bit of that.
And one quarter in this game, and albeit a stunningly bad quarter, 21-0 were the points. The yards were 191-59. And if you go to Kyle Shanahan's teams in the fourth quarter and overtime of the Super Bowl as an offensive coordinator and head coach, the numbers are just as ugly as well. But you are going to judge Kyle Shanahan, mm-hmm. even though he helped take two teams that probably didn't deserve to be there based on what you thought going into each of those years to the Super Bowl. These three quarters?
I think it's a fair assessment, Tim. I think it's a fair assessment.
That's a fine line. And I understand it, but we do this every year. And Andy Reid is sitting on the other side of this right now, celebrating. Like, yep. He does not have one quarter in his 21 seasons as a head coach. The one quarter, and he goes from perennial playoff choker to have another cheeseburger, Andy Reid. You are a Super Bowl champion, and you're getting the gold jacket.
We all knew Andy Reid would get there, Tim. There was no debate in this.
But you understand where, like, I do this all the time, and sometimes I feel like I'm concussing myself, smashing my head against a wall repeatedly. But you understand how fine this line is, and we sit here the next day, have these discussions, and it's like a razor-thin, fine edge between the greatness and the it's-all-your-fault guy.
But I'm not apologizing for games mattering. I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm not apologizing for close games going in one direction or another because that's the rules.
But that was the caveat that I threw in the entire time. Like, I know legacies will be built on these big games. Right. But at some point, we have to kind of step back and go, it's kind of ridiculous. D'Angelo Hall is going to join us a little later on in the show.
Three-time Pro Bowler.
You and I haven't been in the battles that like these guys have before.
Yes,
right. I wonder if they find it to trivialize guys' careers because they didn't do blank or they didn't do blank in a 15-minute. Like, I could argue that this Super Bowl and all of the legacies made and busted came down to a pair of third downs.
Third and 16.
A third and 15.
It was 15.
And a third and 10. And Jimmy Garoppolo had a wide donkey open Emmanuel Sanders on a play that would have won the game. And if he hits him on what is, with pressure in his face, a trust throw. You realize that Emmanuel Sanders has some leverage. You throw it down the field. At the point, they were down by 4.
Yeah, touchdown would have won it.
Right.
Touchdown would have won it. That was before the Damian Williams touchdown.
So for me, that third down, he hooks up on that one. They win the game. The other one, Mahomes, he makes the play. He found Tyreek Hill. 7:13 to go on a 3rd and 15, and that makes his legacy. Everyone else on the field, every corner, every safety, every receiver, every running back. I mean, the offensive line had to block for each one of those plays.
True.
They had to play. Defensive line probably had something to do with it because they got pressure in the face of Garoppolo. But every one of those legacies hinges on those two plays. If they go the either way, the other team is successful.
I didn't make the rules, Tim. Okay. I'm serious. I didn't make the rules, but we're splitting hairs on legacy. Like, legacy is a tough thing to define. Like, this is not an easy thing people are tempted. Like, it sounds easy to just throw out, oh, his legacy is going to be tied to his legacy. I don't like doing this. You think I like judging people?
Yes, I do. I think you thoroughly enjoy it. And all of these guys work their ass off. They sacrifice going out on weekends. They go into the gym when other people are playing video games and hurting their thumb with Tecmo Bowl. They're working out and running hills.
Don't rip anyone playing Tecmo Bowl.
And then they get to a game and the guy playing Tecmo Bowl goes, what do I care? You had 2.5 bad quarters. Get the hell out of here.
You're right. Let's give credit where credit is due. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
Oh my God!
Can we shout out Laurent Duvernay, the smartest guy in the league? That's a doctor, for God's sake. The doctor is in, and he's blocking for the Chiefs, baby.
How can you possibly say that you can't accomplish something when you know that there's a guy who just won the Super Bowl who also is a medical doctor after going through med school while playing in the NFL?
Does Laurent Duvernay-Tardif make everyone feel super lazy? Like,
yeah.
I'm talking everybody.
Yeah.
People that actually have really, really challenging careers. That guy is an NFL offensive lineman and a certified MD. And he still has things to do in his medical career. He still has to figure out where his residency is going to be.
Right.
Well, the doctor was in yesterday, baby. Now, with that said, the Chiefs offensive line at times struggled. Right? That Niners defense, they were quick off the front. Patrick Mahomes had a hard time figuring out his timing. It was not easy for Mahomes to start that game. And that Niners front gets a lot of credit for that.
What's crazy is that Casey ran the ball better.
Yeah, I found that strange.
Chiefs running backs ran the ball 18 times for 104 yards, a 5.8 average, 8 first downs. Niners ran it 17 times for 86 yards, 5.1 average, 5 first downs. That's crazy.
I was not expecting that.
All right, fine. Let's get to the halftime show.
Finally,
in his hand. All right, so what
I would have taken CeCe Peniston over Shakira last night.
Okay, so
easily.
Do I dare go near your tweet from yesterday?
Do it.
Or
I'm not scared. Do it.
Okay, I'll go get it.
Last time I checked, I'm allowed to have an opinion, Twitter.
Well, that's the whole point of Twitter.
Give a damn what Twitter says.
Some people have the guts to have an opinion.
I've been listening to music longer than some of you have been born. Don't tell me about music.
Everyone rips said opinion. That's the way. No, but that's what it is. You know that's what it is.
Doesn't mean certain days I can't hate it. I tolerate it 300 days a year. For the rest.
Okay, so it was yesterday?
Yesterday was one of those. I got super annoyed on Twitter.
All right, so this is from Sid Sixero. Let me go to the top so I don't get people swearing at you. Sid Sixero, it breaks my heart. Jay-Z produced that halftime show, one of the all-time worst.
I'm going to give myself these. That's what I give myself. Okay.
Now, you had 1.2 thousand likes and 627 responses.
I was nearly ratioed on it. It's been a while, but I was nearly ratioed on it.
Can we have a legit conversation on why people didn't like what you wrote?
Can I explain why I didn't like it? Then we can go down that road, because I like that question. Because a lot of people got super angry with me.
Yeah, we probably don't have time for both, but yes, explain why.
Because Barrett Kapanen slept in. It's fine. It's fine. The Leafs third liner slept in. Jennifer Lopez is phenomenal. Love Jennifer Lopez. Thought she was great last night.
Mm-hmm.
Thought she was very athletic. Right?
Yep. She's fit.
And she's great. I'm a huge Jennifer Lopez fan. My beef with that last night was simply that I think Shakira is one of the worst pop artists I have ever heard in my life. And I thought it was going to be like J-Lo with Shakira. Right. So Shakira gets like 3 tracks. Shakira nearly got the Lady Gaga treatment. She was out there for what seemed to be 60 to 70% of the show. And I like music. I'm a fan of music. I think she's one of the worst singers ever. Not since Maroon 5 has someone been on a Super Bowl halftime stage where I said, I don't need this in my life. And I know music is subjective and it's art and this and that.
We should start with that, yeah.
But I know what's garbage and I know what isn't.
Shakira is garbage?
Let's get everyone from 2008 out. Let's get Nickelback, Neo, everybody. Let's bring everyone from 2008 onto the stage next year and have a simple 2000. It was so unnecessary. And by the way, the reggaeton guys, they got all of 2 seconds, the most streamed musical genre on Spotify and anywhere else. Your boy Bad Bunny comes out for 2 seconds. J Balvin, he got a little bit of time. Where's Rosalia? Rosalia's one of the biggest artists on earth. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to dust off Shakira from 2008. And it's just awful. My main issue with Shakira, it's very simple. I don't think she sings good. That's it. What the hell is that? It was ridiculous then. It's ridiculous now. Let J-Lo have the entire halftime. We're bringing real reggaeton acts and have an actual show, Jay-Z.
Do you think Jennifer Lopez actually sings better
than Shakira?
Than Shakira?
Oh, my God. She does everything better than Shakira. My wife's watching, and I'll leave it there. But she is a true superstar. J-Lo is a true superstar. I'm serious.
All right.
Shakira is awful. And I'm allowed that opinion. And if people don't like it, and apparently there were a lot that didn't like it, then we agree to disagree. Now the question is, why did people not like my tweet? That's the question.
Well, I don't want to make it about myself, but I also sent out a tweet. And I know you don't read any of this or don't care, but
I'll follow you after the show.
I said it seems like singing is a secondary skill, but what do I know? I thought it was rather innocuous.
Inaccurate.
I thought they were lip-syncing the entire time, and then people got mad at me, too. Now, I don't know if this is guilty by association because they sit beside you, and oftentimes
You get the blowback. Yeah, you get blowback.
There's like shrapnel that comes from Sixero tweets.
Yes.
And oftentimes my face is absolutely murdered with shrapnel from your tweets.
So much shrapnel.
But, like, they're entertaining. They're out there to entertain. Are we asking too much?
Like the reaction I got, and I take it that you got as well. It's like we were talking about the impeachment hearings. Honestly.
Yes.
All I'm saying is, and I said this leading in, I was not a Shakira fan. I've never been a Shakira fan. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. Where was Pitbull?
I think this was about
that was Pitbull.
Empowerment, and I think they were going after a Latina crowd.
There are a lot of ways you can do that.
Right.
My point is there are a lot of ways. There are some amazing
Latin artists. I know, that's why you brought up reggaeton. But
all right. Go ahead, sorry.
That's all right. Continue.
Which is like, there's some massive, massive, massive names out there.
Right.
Male and female that would have brought it home in a much more amazing way than the top artist from May and June of 2008.
Yeah, but again, it's for like soccer moms in Nebraska as much as it is for you and I.
Right.
Right?
But do those soccer... It's a great point you make.
Oh, and it's
Does
for,
Shakira connect with the soccer mom from Nebraska is what I'm asking.
It's 13-year-olds in California, right? Like, it's not necessarily just the football audience that's going to be there regardless.
No, yeah, it's one of the biggest entertainment moments of the year. You're bang on.
We can continue the conversation and maybe ask. Someone wrote in and just said... did no one else catch Shakira lip syncing? Yes. Yes. Whole world.
Just said it.
The whole world.
100 million people in the States caught it. Yeah.
That's exactly it. Yeah. All right. When we come back, the Battle of Alberta, the Leafs are caught napping, or at least Kasperi Napanen. I stole that. I just don't know who, so I can't give credit. Is it your brother?
I think it was Alex Sixero.
Alex Sixero may have said Kasperi Napanen. We'll discuss all of that. And the Raptors' 11-game winning streak. Still to come on this edition of Tim and Sid.
Let's not bury that 11-game winning streak. That's incredible.
We won't.
Welcome back to Tim and Sid on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, some hockey talk with Chris Johnson coming up. Next hour here on the show, Leafs and Panthers tonight. Kasperi Kapanen sleeping in. We'll touch on that. And Dustin Byfuglien and the Jets, an agreement maybe in the works. We'll talk about that. D'Angelo Hall, three-time Pro Bowler, will join us as well to talk about Super Bowl 54 the evening before. However, the halftime show, I am assuming, Timmy, has taken over precedence on Twitter. That is my assumption. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, it has. Yeah. There is one more that I wanted to find, but I couldn't. Brad just wrote in and said, Sid, I assume your wife is watching. Yes.
Well, I said my wife is watching, yes. Thank you. You guys are sharp today. Thank you for that.
Right. I think it was punctuating the point that your wife was watching, but that's okay. Sean writes in and says, the Shakira and J-Lo halftime show is comparable to the CFL bringing in Trooper like it's 1997.
Does anyone remember that CFL halftime?
Raise a little hell. Mr. Clark writes in, and I can't confirm nor deny this, Shakira's worth $300 million.
Oh, then I'll shut up then.
No, but if you're saying bring in an act that's bigger and she's worth $300 million,
right,
that would probably suggest to you that she's maybe bigger than you think.
She's about as big as I think she is. I'm serious.
Well, there's no arguing that.
I can give you $500.
She's worth $300 million.
Well, congratulations to Shakira. I don't go to her shows. Don't subject me to it.
Nicole writes in and says, I'm not saying I love Shakira, Sid Sixero, but you think Pitbull would have been better?
I'm not saying that.
I think you did.
Mr. 315 Worldwide? Is that the area code?
And whatever. Just to prove that I am oftentimes absolutely massacred by shrapnel, Angie writes in and says, Tim, you are absolutely wrong about Shakira. That's your view, but you are being hurtful with your words.
Tim, you need
I apologize, Angie.
Need to be careful, Tim.
But here's the thing.
Be careful.
I didn't say it.
Be careful. Or did he?
Let's get to hockey and Saturday night. I love how you laugh because I get this all the time and it actually sucks. It sucks immensely. Hey, you idiot. Why'd you say this? Well, it wasn't me. Battle of Alberta delivered on Saturday night, again, capped by a good old-fashioned goaltender tilt. That's right, kids.
How dare you not like Shakira, Tim?
If you didn't see this, the sights and sounds provided were gold. In fact, wherever you watched and or listened, in whatever language, this thing provided a real bang for your buck, if you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Bang.
Back inside, Cam Talbot reaches back. And that is whistled down, and nobody is happy now. And look out.
And now maybe a melee. Never the pitch of Cam Talbot, Gustavo Liga. Blocked on the knock, Gustavo Liga. Sare di Larpe, Larpe.
We've got a wild scrum with fights breaking out all over the place.
And Smith is coming up the center ice as this thing comes unglued.
Ethan Bear and Matthew Tkachuk have dropped the gloves.
Bear belts him with the right hand. Tkachuk counters with a straight right. Right hook, Ethan Bear. And now we're going to have a goalie fight.
Look at this, look at it.
Mike Smith are going to go as center ice.
Oh, yeah, the goalie. Oh, God, with that Smith. What a long time hockey.
And Talbot Shore with the right hand.
My bad. We should have thrown in like some of the BN Sports guy, and or some Florian Hudson.
Yeah,
this is a late idea on my part. I should have pitched this.
It would have worked in there. We can remix it if you
know
you want.
If we have time, maybe guys, we throw some extra. I'll take some JR Ray Hudson.
Orgasmic. What would you give to see these two teams play in the postseason? It's a legit question.
I'd give up my Shakira tickets.
Oh, would you?
I would.
You're a real sacrifice, apparently.
This would be, you know what? It's so good, it'll never happen. Because right now, that's what the matchup is, right? Actually, technically not now. Oilers have dropped down. But I would love nothing more than to see this. I think every hockey fan in this country would love nothing more than to see this. Maybe not the Roger Sales team come the postseason. Keep all the Canadian teams alive and healthy and happy for a while.
Well, this guarantees one makes it through.
That's true. Correct. The math works out.
I don't know if you noticed that, but that could
happen.
It's
true. It's true. But I want all the teams going through.
Oh, I see.
I know the sales guys don't like all the teams going through. If you're the Oilers or Flames, Timmy, do you want this in the first round? Like when they meet Saturday, April 4th, and one of them has a chance to either win and get out of this or lose and avoid it.
No.
Do you want to avoid this in the first round?
Yes, without a doubt.
Why?
Because it's a war of attrition. The NHL playoffs is a war of attrition. And if these two met in the postseason, judging by what we have seen through the first three rounds of it, it would probably be a war that takes casualties. Like, you cannot play at this level and survive what would end up being 16 wins and winning a cup. Like,
but it hasn't been cheap,
I guarantee
right?
you. No.
It hasn't been dirty, right? Like, that's the only reason I would disagree with you is that it's been... It's been above board. It's been aggressive. It's been incredible to watch.
Yeah, but cheap and dirty doesn't mean that it doesn't take a toll. And
you're
what
right.
we've seen yep. was teams playing at a level that takes a toll on the human body. And I don't think either of them want to see each other in the postseason. Do we want to see it?
I want to see it.
Hell yeah.
I want to see it.
Do fans of both teams want to see it? Hell yeah. The one question I had coming out of this, and I know that we wanted to talk about whether or not it would happen in the postseason, but I also want to talk about whether or not this is what hockey needs.
I think so.
Because
I, think so.
I don't know if we – I heard this on ESPN Radio. They were talking about the Battle of Alberta on ESPN Radio.
Really?
And I know that a bunch of people have pushed back on fighting in hockey. Have you seen anything talked about more than Cam Talbot and Mike Smith squaring off at center this year? We've had a couple of ridiculous goals, and I don't know if they were talked about as much as Cam Talbot and Mike Smith throwing bows and punches at center ice.
No, but you're right. This is taking all the oxygen out of the room. Like, Alexander Ovechkin every other night is passing a legend.
Yes.
On the all-time goal-scoring list. Just passed Messier over the weekend, for God's sakes. But you're right. What are we all talking about? That scrap. That rivalry. And it's incredible to watch. Tim, on a personal level, if you are Cam Talbot in that situation, and you see Mike Smith come to center ice, is it your duty at that point to go meet him face-to-face?
Yeah, you can't.
Or can you let it go and save face?
He did stop at center ice. Like, he did stop.
Legally, he had to, did he not?
Yeah. Well, once you pass, you're done.
Yes.
Yeah, you're done.
You're done. But if you're Cam Talbot and you see Mike Smith standing at center ice, is he basically saying to you, I am holding your manhood in my hands right now. Come and get it.
Yeah.
Because both benches at that point and the fans, because when the Hockey Night in Canada truck shows that shot with Louis DeBrusque in the background between the benches, and everyone's like, there's Mike Smith! And if you're Cam Talbot, having started the entire thing,
mm-hmm.
now we can argue with the Sam Gagner started or Cam Talbot start, whatever. Do you have to go meet Mike Smith?
Yes.
You believe you do?
Yes.
Okay.
But do people on? I mean, the start of Don Cherry's Grape Line was basically a guy standing in front of an entire bench saying, let's go, and nobody came out. You can stay there, right?
Yes.
You don't have to go over the boards and meet that.
You don't.
But lo and behold, I think that if it were me, and I mean, he kind of sort of started it.
Kind of, yeah. Again, did Sam Gagner really start?
Well, or did Mark Giordano? Or did Matthew Tkachuk? Yeah. Or did
there are a lot of suspects in that
right.
in terms of who started it?
Right.
But okay, I just wanted to throw that out there because it's a hell
the
of
bell
a
bell rang.
That's
the
what I mean.
The
yeah?
bell
yeah.
rang, oh, and, yeah. and you either stay in the corner, yeah. which a lot of guys have done in the history of hockey. Stayed in the corner. The reason why we nickname throw turtle around is because guys don't want to answer the bell.
Correct.
He answered the bell.
Correct.
There was a guy standing there who has kind of a reputation of being that dude, and you could have just as easily stayed where you were. But someone pointed,
yeah.
right? Don't forget that. Someone pointed. And said, our goalie is standing at center. So if you want to. Yeah.
What you going to do about
yeah,
it?
Yeah. If you want to run your mouth, if you want to do something, go out there. And he went out there.
Because it is the universal hockey signal of get your ass over here.
And he took a few, right?
Yeah, Cam Talbot took a few.
took a few.
But Cam Talbot, from what I saw, also gave a few at the other end.
Did he answer David Riddick's bell?
Yes, he did. A lot of this, Tkachuk gets he's the center of attention. Cassian was the center of attention going into that game last Wednesday. But David Riddick has thrown kerosene on this fire mm-hmm. with the way last Wednesday ended, right? The stick toss and Cam Talbot does not have to fight, I believe, were it not for David Riddick, David Batts, flipping the bat.
Davey Batts.
I'm trying to connect the two, and I'm failing miserably. Thanks for bailing me out. This was a fight that David Riddick made Cam Talbot have,
right.
I believe.
And he said today, why can't we celebrate in hockey? Like, I know David Riddick is a free spirit, and he's the type of personality that you need in hockey. But he knew when he tossed the stick at the end of that shootout that there would be some sort of ramifications to it, no?
Yeah, well, he was chirped pretty hard when he got pulled.
Yeah.
The amount of chirping that was going on was merciless, and to the surprise of no one, it took place.
Mm-hmm.
But the beauty is, A, this isn't over. The sad part is, B, we don't see it again until Saturday, April the 4th, which is the last day of the regular season.
But that
I disagree with the scheduling.
That game could mean a ton, too, right?
Could mean everything, Tim. Could mean everything. We'll discuss that a bit more a little later on with Chris Johnson. Quickly before we go, because Barry Kapanen was a healthy scratch for the Leafs on Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
We were told internal... What was
accountability.
The
internal accountability.
Thank you. Because Barry Kapanen spoke to the media today and explained why it was he got scratched on Saturday.
I was just an honest mistake. I was late to practice that day on Friday, and they felt like sitting me out was something that I deserved, and I agree. So I just got to take responsibility for that, and, you know, that's that.
Is it the first time that's happened?
To be honest, no. I mean, my Marlies days, you know, I've missed or been late to practice a couple times, and that's something that I've been trying to work on, and it's not me not caring. It's just, you know, honest mistake, and it happens, and I just got to own up to it.
Okay, here's what you do. You take your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You set an alarm.
Okay.
And you make sure the volume's way up.
Right.
Because there's a lot of heavy sleepers out there. Are you a heavy sleeper?
I'm a very heavy
sleeper. Okay, so you set the... Do you crank the alarm on your phone?
I do. I actually put music now on the phone.
Whatever works, right? Yeah. Whatever gets you up.
It kind of slowly rises.
You like the slowly rising?
Yeah.
We're finding out a lot about you today, Tim. So, to Kasperi Kapanen, turn your alarm all the way up. And if that doesn't work, here's another tip. Set a second alarm. On the phone.
It's really hard, though.
It's. I know it's very difficult on this thing you have with you all the time.
Set an alarm for 7:30.
I've set an alarm for 7:30 p.m.
It's really hard. It is. Absolutely.
Now, I know we can't expect all NHLers to do that.
Okay, sorry. Set an alarm for 7:30 a.m.
I've set an alarm for 7:30 a.m.
There you go. So.
Set an alarm for 7:45 a.m.
I think we got the point, but.
I've set an alarm for 7:45 a.m.
Okay.
Set an alarm for 8 a.m.
The alarm is set for 8 a.m.
Set an alarm for 8:15 a.m.
The alarm is set for 8:15 a.m.
All right. You're going to let me do it.
I was going to let you go for the next hour and a half.
Eric Engels on Twitter. The flu has ravaged the Canadians. They canceled practice today. They've canceled the morning skate tomorrow and left their number one goaltender at home. Hmm. It'll be Charlie Lindgren or Caden Primo in his home state against the Devils on Tuesday.
Okay. That'll be one to watch. Let's take another break here.
Sorry, I'm still not sure about that.
Ask how many games in a row the Raptors have won. Ask Siri that.
How many games in a row have the Raptors won? You can play the music.
Yeah, you can play. All right. Well, Siri, she's really good at setting alarms.
Mm-hmm.
Not as good at the Raptors. Raptors have won 11 straight. We'll talk about them next.
Welcome back to Tim and Sid on Sportsnet Radio and TV. Still to come, the latest on Dustin Byfuglien, Kasperi Kapanen, and Alexander Barkov ahead of the Leafs and Panthers on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. The Byfuglien news specifically, very interesting.
Yeah, and I think Kevin Cheveldayoff is going to be more of a player ahead of this trade deadline than maybe we think.
Yeah, did they just immediately jump to the front of the queue on a defenseman, and how would that affect other teams that may be in the market for a defenseman, like, don't know, Toronto Maple Leafs?
A lot of teams, definitely. That coming up a little later on. Super Sunday for the Raps. Terrence Davis dropped 31. Raptors blew out the Bulls to run their win streak to 11. They're now 36-14. Nick Nurse and the staff will coach Giannis's team in the All-Star game. Tim, best story in the NBA right now. Is it the Raptors?
We need to slow this down for a split second on the Toronto Raptors. They lost Kawhi Leonard in free agency. They did not replace him with anyone significant. They have been absolutely decimated by injuries. I wrote it down, 168 man games, fifth most in the NBA. They're the only team with a record above 500 in the top five. They are playing three undrafted free agents regularly, one of whom just scored 31 points against the Chicago Bulls. The Raptors currently have the third best record in the NBA. They are better than the Los Angeles Clippers, who acquired Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and Nick Nurse will coach in the All-Star game. They have won 11 in a row, tying a franchise best thanks to the 31 from Davis. Did you know in that 11-game winning streak, Davis is the sixth different Raptor to lead them in scoring during those 11 games?
I didn't realize that.
What they are accomplishing right now is a testament to what every franchise hopes to build and what the Toronto Raptors have built. And that is consistency through understanding, effort, and talent. And they've done that in a multitude of different ways from the top on down. Recognizing the talent, going out finding the talent, and then developing the talent. And every team across the NBA is attempting to accomplish what the Toronto Raptors have accomplished with this team. And I think even on a day where the Leafs are playing in a big game against the Panthers, and it's the day after the Super Bowl, this needs a full stop. What the Toronto Raptors are doing is absolutely jaw-dropping.
Did you think the Rising Stars game was that big a deal? Like, everyone's mad.
If you were Terrence Davis and you were an undrafted rookie who fought his way onto a team that is the defending champs, play significant minutes, and were good enough to score 31, don't you think that you deserve maybe a look?
Probably. But to quote Fred VanVleet yesterday, it's not like anyone else in the room played in that game. They seem all right to me.
Whatever you use for motivation at that level, I'm good with.
That's for damn sure, Tim.
Time for a quick break. Still to come, Chris Johnson on the Dustin Byfuglien situation. And D'Angelo Hall will join us next. Are the hairs that we're splitting on greatness fair after the Super Bowl? We'll discuss with him next. I'm Tim and Sip.
Time for real sports talk with Tim McAuliffe and Sid Sexero.
Thank you very much. Sheepdogs back here on this post-Super Bowl Monday edition. And Tim and Sid, we're here for the next half hour on Sportsnet. Full hour on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590 in the fan. So if you want to flick, we'll wait until the commercial and then flick over.
Yeah, you'd be doing us a solid. Former NFL corner and current analyst for NFL Network, D'Angelo Hall, will join us shortly to discuss last night's thriller. Plus, we'll head to Scotiabank Arena and check in with Chris Johnson ahead of the Leafs and the Panthers' big game tonight.
Stubbs wrote in with some help for Kasperi Kapanen based on what we were talking about earlier and provides a picture of his phone and the alarms that were set at the exact same times that I said on live national television and radio, 7:15 a.m., 7:30 a.m., 7:45 a.m., 8 a.m., and 8:15 a.m. So how heavy a sleeper are you to have to set five alarms?
Sorry, he set those voluntarily, as in that's what he normally does? No, or did you set that on his phone because of the way you set it?
No, what he is suggesting to us, and you would probably have to push a button, although sometimes Siri can't listen, but what he's suggesting to us is that this was his alarm setup each and every day before I even mentioned it.
Like, I think when you set five straight alarms, you have a problem. No?
Yeah, either that or you like to drink. The Super Bowl champion Chiefs arriving home just over an hour ago. Not like I haven't been there before, Stubbs. Andy Reid departing the plane. Guessing Andy Reid likes a drink or two every once in a while, too. With the Lombardi Trophy, the first title in 50 years. Patrick Mahomes, the MVP. No time for an actual Super Bowl hangover. No, he was on his way bright and early making the rounds at Disney World, taking in the sights on the parade. Plus, getting some time on rides as well.
Nice.
You have to ride the rides, too.
Well, I mean, you're there.
However, it was Andy Reid who had the best clip this morning on No Sleep when he was asked how he celebrated last night.
I didn't really sleep last night, but I didn't spend it with a trophy. Well, I did. I spent it with my trophy wife. How's that?
Oh, round of applause from the assembled media for that one.
My wife also sometimes calls me a trophy husband. More like a participation medal husband.
It's more of a ribbon. Right? It's the white ribbon that
D'Angelo
you got.
Okay, Hall's on the line.
Right, fine,
I got it.
I'm sorry.
I put it on a T.
It's a white ribbon.
250 down the middle. You already hit it.
It's not like
you already hit it, McAuliffe. D'Angelo Hall of NFL Network, three-time Pro Bowler. He was in Miami the whole week. D'Angelo, welcome back to Tim and Sid. How you doing? Have you recovered from South Beach for a week?
No, I have not. But it was a heck of a time, that's for sure, man. I got back home to D.C. right before the game, so I was able to watch the game up in D.C. But, man, South Beach is something else, that's for sure.
You want to share any of those stories? Yeah. Because it seems like you're teasing us a little bit with that.
Somehow I ended up, it was me, LT, Julian Edelman, Saquon ended up making his way over to where we were. I mean, more people than I can actually name. And I know I'm forgetting right. so many people, but I mean, just to be around all those guys and hang out, Nate Burleson was over there with us. I mean, it was just, you know, it's a true time, you know, it's a family reunion almost. Anytime you get to take part in Super Bowl week, man, it is really like a family reunion where all the guys, if you were fierce competitors or best friends prior to that, man, everyone just comes together, man, and has a, you know, we all, you know, end up having a great time. That's for sure.
That's awesome.
What is it with the NFL guys and Super Bowl week and stories where you ran into like 30 different names? Like Nate Burleson was on with us. It was the same last week. He was like, I was out with D'Angelo Hall, Urkel, Cristiano Ronaldo was there. Like they have 30 names and some of them don't fit.
Was
like
Stephon there too?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, a little later on. Yeah.
I ended up running up on Diggs, like you just said, Melvin Ingram. You know, Miami already is a place that everybody wants to hang out and visit. And then you put that on top of the Super Bowl. But the reason I think we all end up bumping into each other is there's so many paid opportunities, so many paid appearances, so many opportunities, you know, for us to be involved in the community, to do things in the media, you know, so many different parties and different events that, you know, that people are hosting that, you know, we all end up in the same parties in the same places and venues and events. And so we all just end up hanging with each other because we, you know, we normally don't get an opportunity to do it. And so, you know, Super Bowl is really that one time that we all can come together, celebrate the game, the season, and just really, really be friends for the first time and not competitors.
All right. We already mentioned Nate Burleson a couple of times. So I got to bring up the conversation that we had on this show about 3 weeks ago. And I asked him if Patrick Mahomes was about to cement his legacy as the best quarterback in the game. Now, at the time when I brought it up, there was some pushback from Nate. There was some pushback from the audience. Now that the Super Bowl is in the books, where are you on Mahomes?
I mean, you know, I think Mahomes still needs to do a little more consistently, just a little bit longer. But it's no doubt about it. The kid is special. I think we've all seen that. To go ahead and get an MVP last year, to, you know, to do what he's done in the postseason and throughout the season this year, he is a heck of a quarterback. And I think, you know, his legacy is already kind of cemented as being one of the youngest guys to win both of those awards, being an MVP, a Super Bowl trophy, and a Super Bowl MVP. But you know, to go ahead and say he's one of the best to ever do it, that's taking a lot away from guys like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, just guys over time who've consistently shown that they're excellent. There's no doubt about Patrick Mahomes' greatness, but I want the kid to continue to do it for the next 12, 15 years and take down all the records, because what he's doing right now, anything is possible.
D'Angelo, I want to talk about
Shout out KG.
Yeah. Well, anything wasn't possible for Jimmy Garoppolo towards the end of the game. And D'Angelo, I've watched you guys enough on NFL Network. You guys are pros. You respect other pros. But one thing you guys sometimes can't forgive is the guy being paid way too much money. Now, let me ask you, Jimmy Garoppolo for $137.5 million, that's got to be better at the end of that game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you want a guy who's paid that much money to, you know, to play a little bit better, and not even about the money, just about the stage, what was at hand. And, you know, I was a guy who hadn't believed in Jimmy early on in the course of the 49ers run. I thought it was great play calling by, you know, by Kyle Shanahan and scheming up plays and runs and passes off of those runs. I thought it was great, you know, great job by the defense and, you know, what they've been able to do through the course of the season. It wasn't really until the 49ers went down to New Orleans and I said, man, maybe Jimmy G can win a game like this where he's asked to throw the football. You know, you heard Tyrann Mathieu say, man, we thought we were in trouble until Jimmy G started throwing the football. When you hear that come out of another locker room, you know, that's pause for concern, because this was the biggest stage and we wanted to see a little bit more. But I think, you know, as much as I love Kyle Shanahan, I think they were almost playing at one point to not lose the game. I think that 28-3 lead that they squandered in Atlanta kind of played a part where I thought Kyle had kind of gotten over that. You could tell with the play calling, they ran the ball a little bit too much. You know, I think through the course of that third quarter, and then when they went in the fourth quarter with that lead, it was almost like they started throwing the ball as opposed to really running it, trying to run that clock out. And so, you know, it was a couple plays out there that you wanted Jimmy G to have back and make. You know, I think the most notable one is probably that overthrow of Emmanuel Sanders. If that was on the money, I mean, I don't know how he got behind, you know, the defense like that, but he got behind him, and, man, you wanted to see that throw completed. But, I mean, even Patrick Mahomes didn't have a great day passing, but he made the plays when he needed to make them. You look at Jimmy G's numbers, and they weren't bad. They weren't bad at all. It was just a couple throws that you would have liked to have back. I thought that, you know, that P.I. right before the half was a little bit much. I've seen a lot less not called, and I've seen – I mean, I've seen a lot less called, and I've seen a lot more not called. It's just very tough. I was a little confused, and I know I'm babbling, guys, because it was a lot to talk about, you know, with this game. But, you know, even Kyle not taking the timeout after you got a stop before the half, you know, before halftime was over, you know, kind of let me know, man, I'm used to Kyle calling the timeout, trying to score as many points as possible as the Kyle I know. So, you know, that to me, you know, they didn't manage the clock particularly great right before the half, man. I felt like that was a possession that the 49ers would have had and had an opportunity to do something with.
Yeah, it was almost like they were good with 10-10.
As if the game was going to be won at 10-10, as if Patrick Mahomes was not going to get another snap. Look at John. Timeout. Because John knows, bro, you take a timeout, and then you can be patient taking your time. That whole sequence of events, they run the ball, time just running. And then they get a big play, and it's like, okay, timeout. It's like, did you want to score or did you not want to score? Because the way they're doing right now, they were happy with just taking a knee. But then you throw a shot play to George Kittle. And so it was a little bit confusing, just those sequence of events.
Yeah.
And that's typically not what you see with Kyle. With Kyle, you see a confident play caller who knows exactly what he wants to do and what he wants to do to his opposing defense that he's going against. And I don't feel like we saw a confident Kyle kind of right there and a little bit toward the, you know, the middle and end of that fourth quarter.
Okay, I got to ask you, because you've been in the battles before, and we were talking earlier in the show about the fine line in the media and the fans oftentimes. I mean, you talk about Andy Reid's legacy. He wins a fourth quarter and a big fourth quarter in a Super Bowl, and he goes from playoff choker to the legacy that's going to get a gold jacket and go to the Hall of Fame. And the reverse on Kyle Shanahan. Sid and I were arguing this, and I don't know the answer, and I want to ask you, can three quarters define the job that a man does? Because the fourth quarter last night, and we're all talking about that second half, 28-3 in Atlanta.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it does. And Kyle Shanahan's still a very, very young football coach. Think about the reason everybody was so enamored with Andy Reid and wanting him to win, including his players, is because they know. I played against Andy 17 years ago. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't do the math. 15 years ago in 2004, the NFC Championship game, his Philadelphia Eagle team beat my Atlanta Falcon team with Michael Vick to go to the Super Bowl. And so this is a legacy for Andy Reid that's been a long time coming. And so we got to remember, you know, Kyle has a lot of time. I think he's still a great, great football coach. You saw what they were able to do through the course of the season. They just didn't get it done. They faced a team that was a little bit better than them. And, you know, all week, you know, leading up into this game, you know, I constantly said, if Kansas City can get pressure with their front four, if the 49ers can get pressure with their front four, you know, I just don't know how Patrick Mahomes and these guys can get that offense rolling. They were able to protect Patrick Mahomes, and so that 49ers, they had to blitz a little bit. And so guys had to play a little bit more man-to-man, or guys had to play some coverages that they necessarily didn't leave all the guys back there in coverage. And so you saw the Kansas City Chiefs defense actually rise up at one point. You know, you saw Tyrann Mathieu going off on his players on the sidelines, you know, and it looks like it was a passionate speech trying to tell those guys, look, man, we got to do this for ourselves. We got to do this for Andy. And you saw a different Kansas City defense, and I ultimately think that's what won the game. Yes, Patrick Mahomes is the MVP, and he's great, and we'll say he's, we're starting to figure out who he is as far as on the pantheon of quarterbacks. But this defense won this game for him. Let's not get it mistaken. This 49ers offense is really good. They're able to run the football whenever they want, use their play-action pass game. George Kittle was held to, what, 3 or 4 catches? He didn't make the big impact we're used to seeing from him. So we got to take our hats off to this Kansas City defense, man, because them, Steve Spagnuolo, you know, he did it with the Giants. I think we're all forgetting how great a coordinator he was. But he's the guy who took down you know, the Patriots, those two great Patriot teams, one being the undefeated one that we all thought was one of the best teams ever put together. So, you know, Kansas City played a complete game, man, and, you know, you can't take anything away from those guys.
Three-time Pro Bowler D'Angelo Hall of NFL Network joining us here on Tim and Sid. D'Angelo, Super Bowl's now done. This took up all the oxygen in the room football-wise. I understand that. We're not going to talk about Tom Brady for the next 2 months.
Yeah.
And he was in the Hulu ad last night. Obviously, he's going to continue playing. That's what I took from that. He had insinuated as much in posts previously. And you hear about the rumors of the L.A. Chargers. You heard the Raiders rumor emanate over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But after watching Patrick Mahomes last night, if you're Tom Brady, why would you go to his division? This guy has feasted on a horrible, horrible division for years. And I'm not ripping Tom Brady. But if you're Brady and you have a choice about what next season looks like, why would you want to go to Mahomes' division?
I mean, I think you want to go to Mahomes' division because as a older guy in this league who I'm by no means on Tom Brady level, but I'm just trying to peer into his mind. But as an older guy in this league who's done, you know, almost everything, who has all of these rings, who's considered the GOAT, and then as a young up-and-coming dude who you know is bad to the bone, yeah, I'm going to want to see him too. That's just a competitor in me. I'm going to want to show everybody that I'm better than him. Don't forget my name. And so that's why you would want to go to that division. But you're right. You know, Tom's, you know, a lot of the reason Tom has been successful because that division's been so easy to kind of go ahead and wrap up. Not saying that, you know, these great Patriot teams haven't been great, but the competition in those divisions, like you guys mentioned, hasn't necessarily always been the best. And so if I'm Tom, I'm trying to go somewhere where I feel like I can compete and win a championship. I don't know if that, you know, if that's necessarily the Chargers. I don't know if that's the Raiders. You know, I've even heard about Tampa a little bit. You think about Tampa with those 2,000-yard receivers down there and that defense that's just getting better and better. You know, but then I hear, you know, New England said, hey, we're willing to pay Tom what he wants to stay. So it's going to be interesting, you know, to see where Tom ends up because – you know, sometimes change is not necessarily good all the time. And I understand Tom, you know, probably doesn't feel appreciated all the time. You know, we all feel like that when we've been in relationships for a long time. So, you know, I think we're all in the media and just in the sports world kind of holding our collective breaths to try to figure out, you know, what happens to Tom Brady and where he ends up. It's almost like, where's Waldo?
It'll be interesting. Priorities here. Thumbs up, thumbs down to the halftime.
Yeah.
To the half sack?
The halftime. Shakira and J-Lo.
Half sack. I'm talking about stats.
I hate that stat, too, for the record. I hate it.
All right.
Thumbs up. I know I hate half sacks, too. Thumbs up for the halftime show. And it's simply, you know, I told my wife, I probably know one Shakira song. I probably know a couple J-Lo songs, but I don't, you know, I'm not listening to Shakira and J-Lo. But I wanted to see a performance, and they both gave me a performance. You know, it was culturally, the kind of environment that you would expect in Miami, just a party type of scene, a lot of Latin music. But I mean, it was just full of excitement. And, you know, I'm a dude. I love Shakira. I love J-Lo. I think they both are great to look at, and they put on great shows. And that's ultimately what you want. You want a show. You don't necessarily want a hip-hop artist to come out there and just, you know, bob his head a couple times, you know, while he sings a really dope rap song. Even though I like rap, I want to see a show. And Shakira and J-Lo gave me a show.
Don't be fooled by the rocks that he's got. He's still D'Angelo from the block. And we appreciate you. Thanks for doing this.
No problem, fellas. Hey, and when I'm up there, we're in Canada, I'm going to come check y'all out.
Do it.
We're going to, yeah.
Do it.
All right.
Yeah, we're in. We're
You'll
down.
Regret saying that because we're annoying. But come on up. Thanks, D'Angelo. There's D'Angelo Hall, three-time Pro Bowler, NFL Network. They have now entered the Tom Brady speculation season, mm-hmm. as well as getting ready for the draft in April. NFL does a great job of staying in the news as much as they can. NBA, they rule that.
Yeah.
The NBA season never ends. NFL's close. They're pretty good. You were grinning at a tweet or something.
No, I was grinning because on the television side of things, I pointed at D'Angelo as if he was going to say something back, and then he went silent. And I was just kind of like looking, hey, how you doing? And then I gave him the finger gun, and I might as well winked at the same time. It was kind of awkward.
Is finger gun ever a bad play?
I was laughing at myself.
Finger guns are never a bad play.
I didn't wink, but the finger gun was definitely out there.
You would have brought up
hey, if you come by, D'Angelo, we got you. And he was like, yeah, whatever.
Maybe he was thinking about it and regretted saying it, is maybe how that played out. That's the feeling I got.
Hey, every once in a while, when you're on 2 hours a day on national television and some of the channels, this is what's going to happen to you.
I don't know what that feeling's like.
What?
Time for a break. More Tim and Sid coming up after this. Dustin Byfuglien saga with the Jets maybe nearing an end here, Tim? Maybe?
Yeah. Could he be a Leaf? Never mind. No.
Oh, my God. The tweets are flying up.
This is Tim and Sid on Sportsnet Radio and TV, coast to coast to coast. Leafs and the Panthers. Big hockey game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and some other network television-wise.
I'm just going to listen to the radio.
But is the story of the day, even with three games on the ice tonight, Dustin Byfuglien and the Jets? It was brought up on headlines Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, that this may come to some sort of conclusion, and there were more reports today that a mutual contract termination could happen over the next couple of days between Byfuglien and the Jets, which would allow Byfuglien to become an unrestricted free agent and the Jets to get their cap money sorted out to the tune of about $7.6 million. This could be a massive story heading into the NHL deadline.
For the Jets, it's going to be huge. Right now, 3 points out of a playoff spot. For the roller coaster that this has been for Winnipeg, and Paul Maurice deserves a lot of credit for keeping this thing together, because Hellebuck's been amazing, and he's struggled a little. That blue line, obviously, has been a part of it. For them to have $7.6 million, theoretically, because it's not official yet, freed up ahead of that trade deadline, which is, 3 weeks away? Something like that? 3 weeks from today? That is massive for the Winnipeg Jets. So hopefully for Jets fans, that happens. Now, in terms of Byfuglien's future, reportedly his rehab is not close to being completed for that ankle. So in terms of him joining another club this year, it would be a shock to a lot of people. Any team who is going to look at Dustin Byfuglien is going to really examine what went on here. And the Winnipeg Jets have done a really good job as to keeping things in-house. Because you really haven't, even to the insiders in this country, you haven't heard a lot about the story as to why it took place.
Both sides have handled this with relative class, but absolutely, this was anything but. Like, he left, he blindsided.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Absolutely.
Like, there's no way Tyler Myers or Jacob Trouba ends up going anywhere if Kevin Cheveldayoff and the Jets thought there was any chance that Dustin Byfuglien would not return.
Seconds away from camp beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Let's remind people of this, Tim. It's valid. He left them high and dry. Again, I'm not sure why, but they would not have had the offseason they had, the Winnipeg Jets, letting some of those defensemen go that left, if they knew this was happening with Dustin.
They're going to take a long, hard look at what happened here. He's a 6'5", 260-pound defenseman who can ragdoll two guys at the same time.
Who can leave on a dime without any excuse.
And also is one of the better defensemen in the league. You know damn well teams will be lined up for his services. I don't care what. They might not be lined up to give him 3 years and $7.6 million per year, but you know damn well there'll be a lot of people saying, "Help!" Every Leaf fan right now is drooling at the thought of Dustin Byfuglien joining the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know that, right? Like, no matter what happened here, no matter if it was his fault, if it wasn't his fault, or how much money the Leafs would give him, every Leaf fan is drooling at the idea of having Dustin Byfuglien join the Toronto Maple Leafs.
First off, Leaf fans are drooling at any defenseman joining the Toronto
Maple Leafs. That is correct.
But Dustin Byfuglien on his day, like, to your point, is not your average defenseman.
Forget the cap. Forget everything else. Forget what's happened in Winnipeg. That is the absolute perfect fit for the Toronto Maple Leafs, a player like Dustin Byfuglien.
This guy has led the Jets each of the last 4 years in average ice time per game. When motivated, when healthy, he's exactly what the Leafs need. Yeah. But he's also exactly what like half the league needs.
Correct.
Defensemen, the price, for some reason, backup goalies and defensemen are everything right now in this league.
You think Matt Dumba could end up in Winnipeg?
Well, they have $7.6 million freed up.
He gets $6 million per season.
And he's not far from Winnipeg right now. Throw it out there.
All right, time to say goodbye to the maybe Alec Martinez. Time to say goodbye to those watching on Sportsnet. Hockey Central's coming up next. We'll have more on this Dustin Byfuglien situation and also Flyers and Wings later on. Meanwhile, Sportsnet 1 has the Mavs and Pacers coming up tonight. As for us, we continue on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590, The Fan, in about 60 seconds. Short commercial break. Right back at you. Less than 2-2. I told you it was a short break. Tim and Sid continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360. Pretty big game in the NHL. One of three on the ice tonight. Leafs and Panthers separated by just 2 points in the Atlantic. The Leafs have won three in a row since the All-Star break to climb those 2 points up on the Panthers for third in the Atlantic. And the last time these two played, Sheldon Keefe was suggesting that an immature performance was put forth by his Toronto Maple Leafs in an 8-4 drubbing in Sunrise, which will play a factor tonight.
January 12th, it did not go over well for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, not at
that
all.
That night.
So we after got days off in Florida, too.
Yeah, we should remember that? And they have a history of that down in Florida, right? There are some iffy road trips for the Leafs down there where things don't go according to plan, and then all the jokes come out, and ha-ha, you're in Florida. Your vacation hasn't started yet. Ha-ha, you lose 8-4. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet joining us from Scotiabank Arena, site of the Panthers and the Leafs tonight. We'll also get into this Byfuglien thing. CJ, how you doing? Did you enjoy the Super Bowl? Did you enjoy the game?
I did enjoy it. I didn't have a horse in the race, but it was a hell of a game.
Yeah, it was a good time. I missed the NFL already. Before we get to the Leafs game in earnest.
XFL 6-0.
Don't even get me started.
Saturday.
Hey, by the way, the real XFL had Greg Sansone and Tim McAuliffe hosting that night. This is the fake XFL, which I don't want to talk about.
Okay.
Dustin Byfuglien, CJ, we kind of chopped it up a little before we bring you on. What are you hearing on this front?
Didn't the XFL also have Elliot Friedman walking in, like, all boss style?
Oh, yeah.
I choose to forget that memory.
Out of
the
limo with people expecting WWE superstars and getting Elliot Friedman instead.
Yes. Well played, CJ.
On Dustin Byfuglien, hard right turn out of that. You know, it sounds like they are getting closer to a contract termination, which will be good for the Winnipeg Jets. A little bit of clarity in terms of what they can do ahead of the trade deadline, knowing the future of Dustin Byfuglien, assuming this contract is terminated. And then I guess it frees Dustin Byfuglien up to maybe pursue other options as a pure free agent.
What are you hearing on the health of Dustin Byfuglien right now?
Well, it certainly doesn't sound like he's been skating. So, you know, to me, that suggests we're not talking about him returning this year, although there is a bit of mystery here. Dustin Byfuglien is someone known to dance to his own tune, to do his own thing. And so, you know, I don't know that everything is fully known, but, you know, at this point in time, I think we're probably looking at this summer as a time when he would likely be pursued as a free agent. He would have to sign before February 24th, the trade deadline, to be eligible to play in this year's playoffs. And so, assuming everything goes to plan and his contract is terminated with the Jets here in the coming days, we'll try to dig into that more. But we don't really know a whole lot after, since he had that ankle surgery. As I say, it doesn't sound like he's been skating, so I wouldn't think he's close to being able to play, even if he had somewhere to play.
Are you ready for the incessant Leaf fan chatter that he could join the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Sure, why not? I mean, he shoots right, and he's a defenseman, and he's a heck of a player. So, you know, I understand why that would be made with them, and I think, you know, lots of other teams will at least have interest here to see where Dustin Byfuglien's at. I mean, where this will be complicated is if he becomes a free agent, he turns 35 in March, and that means if anyone's signing him to a multi-year deal for future seasons, that you're stuck with the cap hit no matter what happens with them. And obviously, given that he'll be coming off what is almost a year off, or even more than a year off, I think there's some risk involved in that. And so, you know, there's a lot of questions about whether he wants to play. I would assume if he's pursuing this route where he's willing to terminate his contract, that he's at least open to exploring those kind of options. But, you know, I think teams will have a little bit of buyer beware because of his injury situation and those sorts of things when it comes time to try and sign him.
Chris, just something coming down the pipe from Larry Brooks. That's right, Brooksy tweeting out that Chris Kreider is not on the ice for pregame today. That would be rather delicious for some, suggesting that he might be traded before the deadline. Have you heard anything on this front? And I know there's a few scouts at tonight's game for the Leafs as well.
Yeah, I would think in this case it's probably more due to the injury he suffered on Saturday night. He took a pretty big knee to the head from his teammate there, Mika Zibanejad. I know he did skate this morning, but I'd imagine they're exercising some caution here with Chris Kreider. I mean, maybe it's a trade. That would surprise me if it's happened already. But given how important this guy is, that he's probably the most biggest name that's likely to move by the deadline, I would expect the Rangers will exercise some caution here and make sure that he's 100% before they play him again.
Without a doubt.
Chris Johnson of Sportsnet joining us from Scotiabank Arena ahead of the Leafs and Panthers tonight. Chris is currently not far from the press box, the gondola at Scotiabank Arena. Considering you are in such close proximity, CJ, Terry Koshan, a colleague of both of ours here, and all three of us from the Toronto Sun, he just tweeted that there are 17 teams who have either scouts or representatives at the Leaf game tonight, including Joe Sakic, GM of the Colorado Avalanche, Winnipeg, Columbus, and many others. More broad, big picture here. Is Kyle Dubas going to be busy, do you think, between now and February 24th? I know the cap is really tight right now. From what you're hearing, from what your sources are telling you, what kind of a trade deadline should we expect here from the Leafs?
Well, I think they'd like to be busy in terms of improving the team, but you know, there's certainly no guarantee they're going to make a move. I don't expect that they're just going to do something to do it. If they can solve some issues on their back end, maybe solidify that position even beyond this season, I think that those are the kind of trades that they put out feelers for to see if they can find that fit. But it's no guarantee. I mean, when it comes to scouts out, you know, on a game like this, I think part of it is there's only three games in the league tonight. You know, the Avalanche have Joe Sakic here, also their assistant GM, Chris McFarland, but they play in Buffalo tomorrow, so I think they're just taking the option to come down here so close since they're in the neighborhood. And, you know, it is that time of year. You know, obviously everyone is sensitive. They're looking to see where there's smoke, where there might be fire. You know, when it comes to the Leafs, I think that there's the chance we'll see them be busy, but it also wouldn't surprise me if things come and go without much action, just because, you know, they're really seeking something to help the right side of their D. There's only so many players in the league that can do that, and if there isn't the fit out there, I don't think the Leafs will force anything just for the sake of it.
Chris Johnson of Sportsnet and Hockeynet in Canada joining us from Scotiabank Arena ahead of the Panthers and the Leafs. Not sure what folks expected from Kasperi Kapanen earlier today, but he said that he slept in. It's happened before. He understands. These discipline things in a Canadian market are always interesting because everyone weighs in. How do you think it was handled?
Well, I think how it handled to me is a story here. I mean, there's lots of different ways the Leafs could have chosen to deal with this. The fact that they made him a surprising scratch Saturday, they didn't really address it post-game. You know, Sheldon Keefe just called it internal accountability, and they waited till this morning to have Kasperi Kapanen have to take questions on it. I think they really threw him out in the spotlight. They put him in an uncomfortable position, and I'm sure that's part of the punishment here or the message that's being sent to this player. And you know, what I find most interesting is it's clear this is an accumulation of things that have happened. You know, obviously being late for reporting for practice on Friday was the incident that sparked the suspension itself. But, you know, there's been past incidents here that haven't really been spelled out to us in the media. And so, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, not everyone was on the same page, I guess, talking about this today. But it's very clear that the Leafs, you know, want Kapanen to feel uncomfortable, to face some heat. And he's done that, and now we see how he responds, I guess, with his play on the ice. But obviously, they'll be looking for some changes to his approach when it comes off ice.
CJ, I'm hesitant to call a February game a big game, but how big is tonight's game?
Well, it might be the biggest in Leafs Panthers history, which isn't saying a whole lot, because I can't recall very many that have been that big in the last 25 years between these teams. But, you know, given that we expect Toronto and Florida to jockey for that third position in the Atlantic Division down the stretch, I think, you know, this is a big game. And especially for Toronto, having got thumped down there in the game you guys were talking about earlier in South Florida a couple weeks ago, you know, this is an opportunity for them to get a little bit more breathing room between them and the Panthers and to solidify their position in the playoffs. So, you're right. There's 30 games after this either way, no matter which team loses, which team wins. There's lots of time still for things to happen. But, you know, head to head, I think these teams will be looking to send a message to one another.
No Barkov for Florida tonight, but it's kind of a bad news, good news thing for the Panthers, isn't it? Because he's looks like he's escaped some sort of real injury in this MRI instance.
Well, for sure. I mean, when you saw him leave the game in Montreal on Saturday afternoon, unclear, you know, how serious that injury was. I think the fact that, you know, Alex Barkov is going to play again pretty soon is in the big picture good for Florida. But, you know, it's going to be a tough challenge for them here tonight. The Leafs are pretty deep down the middle. You know, Vincent Trocheck now becomes the Panthers' number one center. And I think that that's a spot the Leafs can maybe expose the Panthers on. It's just, you know, beating them down in the toughest position on the ice. And so that's a huge loss, even just for one game, maybe two games. Florida does play tomorrow night in Columbus. But you're right, they did escape something much worse, because a prolonged period without this guy would be really damaging to their playoff chances.
Chris Johnson of Sportsnet joining us from Scotiabank Arena, where the Leafs are going to take on the Panthers tonight in a massive hockey game. Leafs 2 points up on Florida for third in the Atlantic. The Michael Hutchinson isn't good enough talk has died down here, CJ, hasn't it?
For sure, and full credit to him. I mean, he's showing that he can win some games for them, not even just in the back-to-back scenario. And I think really that's all anyone was hoping for or asking for around the Leafs, is the opportunity to give Frederik Andersen the odd night off, even extra nights off, not just in those back-to-back situations, and for the Leafs to have a chance to win those games. And so, you know, this season got off to a miserable start for Hutchinson. He was admittedly put in some tough spots, some difficult games, but it wasn't looking good. And the fact that he's been able to get it back on the rails here, he's won a few starts in a row, you know, I think is encouraging, because the Leafs really don't have the cap space to be going out, or I don't think they have the desire to go out and acquire a backup goaltender to replace him. So as long as Hutchinson can give them some minutes, some decent starts as he's been doing, you know, that's all really the Leafs are going to ask for, as they look to sort of make sure that Frederik Andersen isn't overplayed down the stretch, because, you know, to my eyes, he's the most important guy on his team. You know, a lot of their playoff hopes hinge on how well Andersen plays, and the fact that they can get him a little extra rest now and feel good about it is a benefit to everyone in the organization.
CJ, always great catching up with you. Even if the music powers on behind you, you can power on with us. We appreciate it, my friend.
Love it, guys.
All right, there is Chris Johnson from Scotiabank Arena. Got more on Kapanen, and you might tell by the way that I said goodbye to CJ that I was distracted a little bit.
But, I couldn't tell.
More on Kapanen from Elliot Friedman. He was on Sportsnet 960 in Calgary talking about the relationship between Kapanen and Keefe, and suggested that it may be a little frayed.
There's a lot of trade rumors about Kapanen, and I think in the right deal they would move him. And I also believe that him and Keefe, they're not huge fans of each other. You know, I think they battled in at the American Hockey League level. They're obviously battling a little bit at the NHL level. In terms of overall style, you know, Kapanen's more of a north-south guy, and I think he fit in Babcock's system a lot more than he fits in Keefe's. But I will tell you this, like, when Kyle Dubas traded for Kapanen, people were down on him. He had a bad World Juniors that year. Pittsburgh was down on him. But Kyle Dubas believed in him, and Kyle Dubas is a fan. And I think he would trade him in the right deal, but I don't think this means he's necessarily gone.
Okay.
Are you going to give that a woo? Like, it's a woo.
Yeah, it's a woo.
That's an interesting woo.
Why is that interesting?
I don't know if that's all woo, but it is interesting.
Well, to me, that he and Sheldon Keefe aren't on the same page is kind of woo.
Oh, that's the woo. That's the trick. Because I thought you were giving the woo for the trade part of that.
No, who else is going to leave in a deal for the Leafs? It's obviously going to be either Kapanen, Andreas Janssen, or...
Well, the Leafs could not make a deal.
Or they could not make a deal. But if they're going to make a deal,
no.
Got news for you. Money has to go out.
But I don't think Friedge said that a deal was going to happen
there.
No,
he did. I'm just,
and that's
I'm,
what... Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going
I misunderstood your woo. It's okay.
Understood. I get misunderstood all the time. I work with Tim for 20 years. Sometimes we misunderstand each other. It's the... Look, the one thing about Sheldon Keefe we've heard a lot of... Before he became head coach of the Leafs and after he became head coach of the Leafs, is his work in the Marlies with guys.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of guys on this Leafs roster who have an American Hockey League history with one Sheldon Keefe. And for the most part, I have only heard that explained to me in very glowing terms. That is the first time I have ever heard a guy with a Keefe connection not potentially have a good Keefe connection?
Yeah.
Right? And let correct me if I'm wrong. I've been wrong three times in my life. There's a fourth coming. But I can't – I don't know another person on the Leaf roster right now with Marley's ties that are negative ties with Keefe. That's interesting to me. And that makes a guy very easy to deal. And that makes it very easy to bench a guy on a pretty important game on a Saturday night. I don't care what the Sens record is. You need these points.
Do the Leafs add a defenseman? Forget it.
What's that?
Never mind all this. Do the Leafs add a defenseman and is capping in the guy?
To trade?
Yeah.
Of course. He's making $3.2 million.
Do the Leafs add a defenseman and is capping in the guy? I'm not, this isn't like, hey, is Kapanen probably the guy that moves? Andreas Johansson. Here are the names that we read in the media right. all the time. I'm asking you, are the Leafs going to go out and get a defenseman?
Not unless they trade Kapanen. Am I misunderstanding your question?
Yes.
I think I'm misunderstanding the question. Yeah. Well, listen, I'm looking at Kapanen's
Are the Leafs
numbers.
Picking up a defenseman? That's pretty simple.
I believe they would if okay. they trade Kapanen. But at the end of the day, I don't think Kapanen's the guy. Like Kapanen... The hype around Kapanen forever.
I don't care about your take on Kapanen.
Well, I think it's relevant to
the
show.
I was trying to stop your take on Kapanen and just ask you if they're going to get a defenseman. I don't care any longer about your take.
They will get a Kapanen.
They will get a Kapanen?
If they trade Kapanen. But you got to wake up pretty early in the morning.
Time now!
You got to wake up early in the morning to get one over on Kapanen.
Time now for what we
need. Are you asking, is Kapanen the guy? Like, is he the man? Because I don't think he is. He's a third liner on this team. And they got a lot of guys ahead of him. Is that what you're asking?
Nope.
Do I blame Kyle Shanahan for Kasperi Kapanen? Is that what you're asking as well?
That might be closer
is
to
Kasperi
what I'm asking.
Is Kasperi Kapanen to blame for the halftime show?
Should have run the ball more often.
Correct.
With Kasperi Kapanen. Here's what we missed today, and this is a significant one, especially for big baseball fans and Jays fans. According to Ken Rosenthal, Mookie Betts will get traded before spring training starts and possibly in the next few days.
When does spring training start again?
Pitchers and catchers are a week away.
Yep. So soon.
Soon. Very soon. Mookie Betts, one of the better players in the American League. And we've heard all year long, or at least all offseason long, that this might be a possibility. Hell, we heard it at the end of last year. Did you actually think this was going to happen? And do you still think this is actually going to happen?
Yeah. It's going to happen because...
Rosie doesn't play around.
No, he doesn't mess around. Yeah. B, if you're a real organization, I respect what the Red Sox are doing here. Because if you offer a kid $300 million contracts and he's turning you down, and you're the Boston Red Sox, guess what? He's going to market. And if you can stash like a Gavin Lux or a Dustin May from the Dodgers or some other prospects from around the league, you do it. And on top of that, you're trying to save money. If you can get a person to take David Price off your hands and the last season of Mookie Betts at $27 million, and you've offered him what the Red Sox have reportedly offered him, yes, you do this. This is what smart teams do. They don't watch players just walk away and go, you know what? I didn't see it coming. Yeah, you should have seen it coming because you offered him the moon and he still told you no, and you're the Red Sox, for God's sakes. This is a smart move. Regardless of what they're getting back, this is a smart move for the Red Sox, and the Jays became much better because of it.
This is a new era in sports, right? People still aren't used to the new era in sports, but if your star isn't going to re-sign with you, you have to look at what you can
Name
get back.
Name a place on your body that a doctor might look in with a little flashlight.
I hit that by accident. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
That has nothing to do with Mookie Betts in the discussion.
Well,
I don't know how that happened.
Well, I don't know.
That's such a random button for me to hit.
Because the Boston Red Sox last year, never mind.
We're ass.
after Adrian Wojnarowski stole some Super Bowl thunder by suggesting that the Houston Rockets may be looking to trade Clint Capela, reported today, did Woj, that the Celtics are interested in acquiring Capela from the Rockets. Would this be a good move for Boston and or Houston?
A better move for Boston. If you're the Raptors, you don't want this to happen. Look, they got Daniel Tice, who's okay.
Right.
And Enes Kanter, you don't know whether he's coming or going. And right now he's hurt. So if you're the Red Sox, adding a guy like Capela...
Well, don't confuse your Boston teams.
What did I say?
You went Red Sox on that.
Well, I think the Red Sox are also in play here, too.
Okay, and what's
Mookie Betts?
How does Kasperi Kapanen work into that?
Yes. What? There's 30 people in my ear telling jokes. Everyone's funny. Clint Capela would help the Celtics immensely. I don't know what the price would be, But if you're a Raptor fan, you do not want that to happen. In trade deadline, that looks rather insignificant top to bottom based on what we're hearing. And don't get me wrong, I'm hoping for an exciting trade deadline Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern. This would be the most significant move I've seen. Capella can play some defense and grab you 13 boards a game. He's not what Houston needs, I get it. And he would help out the Celtics significantly. This is not, that would not be a good thing for the Raptors if they got Clint Capella.
Headline, SB Nation. Today, February 3rd, 2020. The Raptors can be the trade deadline's scariest buyers.
What?
Should the Raptors try and make another run in the Eastern Conference with a bold trade? And on that headline, there is a picture of a very serious Masai Ujiri.
A menacing photo.
Staring into the camera.
Menacing.
Like he's about to do something.
Or not. Or stand pat.
Do you think he stands pat?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think he stands pat. I think, like, I'm just looking what's out there right now. Unless there's a name that literally is not on the radar right now. I don't see it happening. Like D'Angelo Russell? Nope.
Would you trade OG Anunoby?
Well, for who?
If there was the right deal out there, I think that there's a possibility that Masai Ujiri could pull the trigger on something. And I will never turn it off because Masai is a quiet assassin.
Yes.
But I wonder if he's not looking at the interest in OG Anunoby and a first-round pick that might be late and say, let's see what's out there. I don't care if it's Clint Capella. I don't care if it's, I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, Capella's getting like 16, 18, 19 for the next 3 years.
And no, it's more than that.
Is it more than that?
Yeah, it's more than that. And it would complicate the Giannis attraction a little later on because you'd be using up some of that money.
Depends on what you lose, though. Because guys are coming off the books, too.
Right. No, you're going to lose a lot of money.
Look, DJ and I were having this conversation.
The soul's gone after this year.
The soul's gone. Serge could be gone. I do not underestimate Masai Ujiri ever.
Okay.
Anyone who does that is a fool. I think you and I agree on that. Is this the market where I could see them trading a guy like OG Anunoby? I don't think it is. It's just kind of soft to me. I don't see difference makers. I don't see guys who are like, oh yeah, that'll get you to the finals. I don't see it. But I could be wrong. There could be a guy, again, there could be a guy under the radar that you and I are not talking about that all of a sudden could shift the entire dynamic. And I said shift. The entire dynamic.
I heard you. You said
no,
shift.
No, I just want to make it clear for people.
Okay, don't worry about
it. Make it clear. That could change everything for the Raptors. But right now, I don't think that's that market. I don't think this is the get something back worthwhile to trade Anunoby market.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
The Winnipeg Blue Bombers released quarterback Chris Streveler, who is expected to not only look through the NFL for some employment, he's expected, according to some, to sign with the Arizona Cardinals. You think Streveler can make an impact in the NFL?
First off, that's your boy.
That's my boy.
Chris Streveler. Tim McAuliffe, in meetings and emails for the last year and a half, has been extolling the virtues of one Chris Streveler.
It was basically Streveler versus Johnny Manziel when everyone was hyping up, oh, Johnny Football is coming to the CFL. I go, why don't you just watch Chris Streveler because he's probably got a better chance than Johnny Manziel. Lo and behold, we're here. But never mind. It's not that I'm right. It's that I'm right.
I still think Johnny Manziel has a chance in the CFL, Tim.
Yeah, okay.
Tim, let me ask you this, though, to answer your question. Is Streveler a big dude?
Yes.
Can he run?
Yes.
Can he occasionally throw?
Yes.
Does Taysom Hill have a job in New Orleans?
So he is the Arizona Cardinals' Taysom Hill?
Or any other team's Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill has kind of changed the dynamic for big guys who kind of play quarterback.
I really think that it's not even just the Taysom Hill. I think it's... If you have a quarterback like Kyler Murray who's a little slight and you don't want him getting hurt, let someone come in and run short yardage and maybe throw a pass or two.
Yeah.
Because it's smart. And I was saying this when Winnipeg was using it in the Grey Cup. I said, don't be surprised that this is going to happen across football, not just the CFL, but the NFL.
And with guys like Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, I'm surprised teams don't already have that guy. Because you don't want to get him hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. No, without a doubt. And you have so much money invested in that position. All right, and finally, the last question on this edition of What We Missed. Do you enjoy a good caucus?
Oh, the Iowa caucus is tonight.
Right, just wanted to make sure.
I mean, the last big, big caucus was Barack, and no one saw that coming.
What?
To answer your question, I'm gonna lay back tonight, watch The Bachelor, and then take in a long caucus tonight.
tomorrow.
Go Bernie.
Yeah. Okay.
From the 680 News Traffic Center, I'm Christine Langos, and still looking at a couple of problems. Eastbound 401 approaching Harmony, the right lane blocked at the collision. It's slow from east of Thixon as you make your way into the Durham region. And on the northbound 400, delays from north of Teston to north of King Road. It's all because of a sinkhole that's opened up, and they're working on it. The right lane is blocked through that stretch. Earn your MBA at Niagara University in Vaughan. Learn more and register for spring every Thursday at their info session at 5:30, niagaru.ca. Again, niagaru.ca.